Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening to PGN, Prophetic Grace Network, where we do it more than we talk about it. Good evening and Happy New Year. This is the first Saturday of the year of 2023. Wow, already almost a week. Wow. Well, welcome to the show. I'm Carmen. I'll be your host for tonight. And let's begin with prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for this opportunity to be here in your name and to gather and worship you and speak your word and share testimonies. And Father God, just lift up your name, Father God. Thank you for allowing us to do that tonight. And I pray that you draw in the people that need to be in this show tonight, that you will bless them tonight with your word, with ministry. And Father, we just lift up PGN and all the families of PGN, all the family members of PGN. We ask you to bless them and continue to work in their lives, Father God, and meet all their needs according to your riches and glory. Thank you, Father, for allowing me to hear tonight. Lord, I just pray you speak through me, that you speak your words and not that they be all you and not me. That, Father God, that you inspire me, that you touch me tonight, that you touch my mouth tonight to minister to your people the words you would want them to hear from you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, welcome, everybody. I'm glad to see that some are online right now. And I want to begin with speaking about those in need. And what do I mean by that? We've been talking about on PGN, Prophet Randy has been talking about a lot about the Jews and the red heifers and all that. And we have to understand the reason why they're not understanding what Jesus came on earth to do, what he did on the cross, and why they don't receive him. But we're not going to get into details of that. Well, we're going to get into the details of the journey that God took me through. And many times we read the Old Testament, and we read it, and sometimes we don't understand it. And people that are religious live by the Old Testament because they don't understand that the New Testament talks about Jesus and what he came on earth to do, and that he came and died on the cross for our sins. Let me explain through this scripture. It's in Philippians 3, and it says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. Rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews concerning the law, a Pharisee concerning zeal, persecuting the church concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless." So he's saying, you know, if anybody has anything to glory, to have confidence in the flesh about, look, I'm all these things, I'm circumcised, I'm from the stock of Israel. I'm from the tribe of Benjamin. You know, he's mentioning all these things, but he puts none of his confidence in his flesh. Okay, verse 7 says, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish. That's an English word. The English use rubbish as garbage. So he counts everything as garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having my own righteousness, listen to that, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteous, which is from God, the righteousness, which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. In other words, his righteousness doesn't come from the law. Yes, the law was necessary. It was there to point us to Jesus. But if you follow the law without following Jesus and understanding why the law was there to bring you to him, then you're going to get into some religious works. And we don't want that. We don't want that for you. And so this week, God was talking to me about the poor, the oppressed, the orphan, the widow. And he was showing me that many are in religious works, and pastors, ministers are forgetting the one thing that God is calling them to, the righteousness that is of him. And that righteousness is to do good, right? God says to do good, seek justice, rebuke the oppressor. The oppressor is somebody that's oppressing someone. And so we have to rebuke those that are oppressing others. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow. These are the things that are pleasing unto God when we do these things. He wants us to not just see these things and be empathetic for these people that are orphans and widows and poor and oppressed, either physically or spiritually speaking. He wants us to understand that it's doing something about it. That's where your righteousness comes in. That's what is pleasing to God. So the righteousness is in right standing with God, with what God says, with what Jesus died on the cross for us for. So Philippians 3:9 talks about that righteousness. So last week we talked about the Ten Commandments and the different ways of being in right standing with God in those days, right? But then Jesus died and resurrected, spiritually speaking, he took the keys back from the kingdom of darkness and fought that war for us, and he won to give us life so that we could obey him. Not the law, but him. But the law is there for a reason. It shows us the way that we're supposed to have our righteousness in the spirit, being led by the Spirit of God to follow what God has commanded. And so I started praying and saying, okay, Lord, I know that when you try to catch my attention on something, there's a reason for it. So I started reading more about the law, the oppressed, the fatherless, the widow. And God was also showing me about how we are supposed to teach our children, the ways that we're supposed to teach them the ways of God. But how are we going to show them? And it's necessary for us to understand that they're in a journey, that they have to understand they're in a journey with God, and they're constantly learning. Like children, we must learn also. We can only learn certain things according to our maturity. And as we grow, we're able to understand why our parents did certain things with us. As we grow older, we're allowed to do more things because we can handle more responsibility because we understand more. And everyone is different in the family and is shown different things to do. But it's basically, you know, a parent doesn't take their one child's immaturity and treats them all the same. It can't be that way. It's according to the maturity that they have that they're allowed to have more responsibility to do more because they don't understand what they're doing. They need to be guided. They need to be trained. So same thing with us. There's a lot of things we don't understand. And until we get into the Word of God, we're learning and growing and going deeper and deeper into His words and understanding why what we used to think was not right in lining up with God. And then we get freer and deeper in His word, and there's more freedom. There's more liberty. There's more of us being able to be used to help others, those that are poor. But, and those that don't want to listen, didn't obey, there's a consequence. Just like when we deal with our children, there's consequences. The consequences are there to show you not so much that you're bad, but to help you to understand that you're ignorant about something and that you need to grow. And because the consequences are there because God, our parents love us and put those certain rules there to stop us so that we won't get ourselves hurt. Well, God puts consequences to show us, hey, wake up. You're going in the wrong way. And He loves us so much. He doesn't want us to feel condemned but convicted of what we're doing. But really the consequences your parents placed were there because they were to teach you something and because your parents loved you to stop you from hurting yourself in the future. When we're ignorant, we rebel, right? We rebel, thinking in our own way that we are the boss of ourselves. Sounds familiar? God has taken us through the ages and shown us in the Word of God through what other people that believed in Him had done and used them as examples in His word on why we shouldn't rebel and instead obey. So He gives us His word to keep us on the right path, on the straight and narrow path. There's a big path, and you can go walking on it, but it leads to death. But the straight and narrow path, you have to be obedient to what it says, what God says. And not many are on there. It's very few that are on that narrow path. And it's only those that are in obedience to what God says. So God says to seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow. There's many things to the subject of the poor. But what I'm going to cover is, and it might not turn out to be the way that you think, okay, oh, well, she's going to show us how righteousness is and how to work with the poor, the oppressed, the orphan, and the widow. You'll see in a minute where I'm leading with this. So how do we do all this? Well, we won't, you know, like I said, we're not going to cover all things that we should be doing, but we're going to cover just some of the things that God mentions in His word that are very important to Him, that are aligned with walking in righteousness. And that's to be concerned for the poor, the oppressed, the orphan, and widow, but not in an empathetic way, not only in an empathetic way, but with actions. We really do have to go in there and help them out, but it's not the way you think. All right. This is a part in our society where ministries have not really helped, right? And the churches are asking for money for this and that. And sometimes in the holidays, they'll help these that are poor, that are oppressed, the orphan. And they remember the widow at that time. But then the rest of the year, everybody forgets about them. Well, hello, that's not the government's job. That's really our job. We're supposed to take care of those in need, but God has an order of doing it. And that's another thing that I need to express, that order. When we're out of order, we're out of God's order, and everything else that we do is in disorder. And so in order to do things in the righteous way that God wants us to do it, there's got to be an order of following what he wants us to do it, not in our ways. Okay, there is a scripture that talks about the poor and how, I think it's in Matthew 26. Let me look. Give me one moment because I have the phone in one hand and my Bible in the other. One moment. Okay. Let's see. I should have marked it. I think it's in Matthew 26. It's in Matthew 26:11. All right. Here we go. No, we'll start from 6. And when Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him having an alabaster flask of very costly or fragrant oil, and she poured it on his head as he sat at the table. But when his disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, "Why this waste? For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor." There you go again, the poor. But when Jesus was aware of it, he said to them, "Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, but you do not have, but me you do not have always. For in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial. Assuredly, assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the world, the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her." So Jesus was telling the disciples that we would always have the poor. But people misinterpret that scripture, and they'll say, "Well, Jesus said we'll always have the poor." So they feel that, oh, because we're going to always have the poor, there's going to be less importance to taking care of the poor. No, that's not what was going on here. That's not what was being conveyed by Jesus here when he was talking about the poor and what the woman with the oil, the flax of oil, took and poured over him. She was paying attention to Jesus. She was truly worshiping Jesus. She was putting Jesus first. And that's what Jesus is trying to show them here, that yes, it's important. That's, you know, one of the important things that God has for us to do, that we need to take care of the poor. But above taking care of the poor, if we're going to truly know how to help them, we have to put Jesus first, because without him, we can't do anything. So Jesus was saying, look, you're going to remember her because she did something beautiful here. She is going to be remembered in the gospel in the whole world because of what she's doing right here. And that work, good work that she did was going to be remembered by God. That's walking in righteousness. So it's not that we're supposed to ignore the poor. No, no, that still remains important to God. But how can you help those that are in need, those that are needy? You can't help them if you don't know how to listen from the Lord and help others, whether it's your family, whether it's in your business, whether it's in your job. You have to spend time with the Lord to hear his voice the way that he wants to lead you, not living in the Old Testament by the law. That's not going to help you. That's not going to lead you, because that the Spirit of the Lord is with what Jesus did on the cross. He's going to be the one to lead you and guide you. The Holy Spirit is going to guide you into all truth. And so when you put God first, all these other things that you need to take care of will be taken care of, because you're going to be led by God. So we looked at that. So you can't help others if you don't worship him first. you can't serve him until you realize you are poor and you don't have anything to give God or others because everything is in him. So when you realize that you can't, but he can, and that your righteousness is not of you, but of him, then you can take those things and serve the world the way that he wants you to serve them. Many become overwhelmed in ministry. And pastors, you hear pastors that they say they have to go on a sabbatical because they're overwhelmed with all this work. Or people with business, you know, they don't know where to take their business. Their business sometimes are at the point where they're going to lose their business because they've been doing things their way. They've been spending so much time in the things of the world, and they've forgotten their relationship with God. It could be your family. It could be a career going the wrong way. Because, and why? Because you're giving what, you can't give to those things what you don't have, that you haven't gotten with spending time with God. He's going to give you the direction. He's going to give you the true prosperity of living the righteous life in him. So and when we're out of order, these things come out of order too. Your business, your family, your children, you name it, whatever you think or you're thinking about now, that too. That too is out of order when you're not putting God first, when you're not worshiping him first in spirit and in truth. The order is seeking God's kingdom first, and then you will be able to have the wisdom, the energy, the strength to deal with those things that you have in your life, your family, your companionship, your career, a spouse, a future wife, a future husband, a ministry that God has told you that you're not going to be able to fulfill these things in these things that you're seeking after, that you believe that God is leading you into. Because if you don't continue seeking him, you're not going to know how to continue doing what it is he's calling you. Even helping the poor, the needy, the orphan, the widow, these parts of righteousness, that part of righteousness, but the right order in following him first helps everything else to fall in order. Okay? So some people, they spend so much time with their children, with their husbands, that, oh, no, you know, I have to take care of my marriage, because if I don't take care of my marriage, it's going to go away and, you know, it's going to fall apart. Well, if you don't take care of your relationship with God first, hello, that's going to fall apart. And we hear many pastors saying that either they were at the point of divorce or that they end up getting divorced. Why? Because they neglected the order that God had for them. They put all their efforts into ministry, ministry, ministry. They forgot their families. They forgot their children. And when they come back, they look at things and they think that because they're a pastor that everything else is going to be taken care of. It's seeking God first, but God tells you how to follow that order. It's not by magic. You seek God, but he gives you direction through his Holy Spirit to guide you to know what you have to do. There has to be order in everything that you do. And so we have to seek him. We have to seek him to understand what that order is. And it's always not the way we think it is. Like, for instance, that misunderstanding of that scripture that because Jesus says, the poor there, you'll always have with me, right? But you won't always have me with you. But no, but people need to understand it's both equally important. We need to understand our relationship with God, and we need to make that first. And then all these other relationships will be added on, loving God and loving others. So, okay. So now that we understand that, let's take that area of the poor. God was really impressing on me the need about caring for the poor, the needy, the orphan, and the widow. And I sense that kind of increasing, and an increasing of those that needed help. But I told the Lord, well, you know, Lord, how am I supposed to help them? I can't, you know, I'm not rich. I mean, not rich in the sense of finances, but I'm rich in the things of the Lord. Amen. So as I sought the Lord was explaining, you know, there's an order in everything that we do, no matter if it's serving others or serving the needy, the people that are needing spiritual help, the orphans that, you know, there's things in the physical that are need, but there's also needy people in the spiritual, that they need spiritual growth and they need spiritual food, and those are the ones that we're supposed to, but we can't give to them unless we are led and guided by the Holy Spirit, because he's the only one that understands what they're all about. So like I was saying, you know, let me tell you that this, and let me tell you this to make it clear, so you won't be able to do anything without putting God first. The things from your loved ones, your employees, your next door neighbors, it could be your ministry, spiritual help, the aging, the homeless. You know, are you getting the picture? There's many, many, many things. I mean, that whatever you're involved with, you can't do it. There are many things in need. Okay? There are many things in need, and they will be growing. They're constantly growing. They're constantly needing. But when we get ourselves in the right order, God will be able to bring, you will be able to bring glory to him, not to yourself. Self will try to get in there and think of, you know, certain things to do and plans and this and that. And it can work for a while, but then in the long run, it won't work. But when you start following God the way that he says, no matter what anybody else says, if God says, do this in your ministry or do that in your business or do this in your personal life, then you follow what God says. If you don't follow what God says, then it's not going to happen. But you will know, and then other people will realize, oh, now we see that you were right in choosing making these decisions led by God. They might not like it at first, and they may not be in agreement with you. And we were talking about Moses. And how many times didn't people come against him and always were saying that, you know, that he didn't know, his own brother, his own sister, you know, judged his decision-making. He even got in trouble and got leprosy. His brother, because he didn't follow, he started being led by others, and he made a calf, a golden calf. Gold is symbolic of the things of God. And sometimes people will do things and cover it up with gold like it's the things of God, and it isn't. It's works of our hands. Worshipping finances, the money, worshipping self. There's another one that made a golden image of himself, Nebuchadnezzar. He made an image, and three Hebrew boys and Daniel, the decision-making of this wicked king, they didn't follow. They knew what they had heard. They knew what God said, and they followed God's order. So they were protected from it. But yet those that did their own thing, they were destroyed. The men that were around the oven, they were destroyed. Those that were coming against the Hebrew boys, they were destroyed and thrown in the den of where the lions were. Those that created the calf, the golden calf, 3,000 were destroyed. There are consequences to disobedience, to God, being disobedient to God. Following God's righteousness is following him first. And as you follow him first, you'll be able to help the poor. And it's not doing things in your own strength. You're never going to get anywhere with your own strength. You can go so far that it may seem like it's working, but it won't work. Seek him first is being led by him. His Holy Spirit will have your cooperation. When he does have your cooperation, you'll be free to work in the lives of those that you're helping. And I think that, you know, we're seeing more and more dark days for people that don't obey God, that don't listen to God. And we're going to see more and more people being needy, spiritually and physically needy. There's going to be a lot of those people, and the church has to get ready. But it can't be ready with programs, with not only money. It's knowing how to do things by God's direction. And I know I'm sounding like I'm repetitious, but my grandchildren and my children said, you've already told us that, but there's a reason why I'm saying things, because you're not getting it. And the more I say it, then finally something will happen. It's like one day I was talking to my granddaughter about Moses, and she finally understood because I added more things. And so she saw the bigger picture of what let my people go meant. So therefore, because we have the poor, needy, and the orphan, and the widows with us, we should be more generous to them with our time and help them as the Lord leads. If we look at Judas, he tried moving, distracting, and criticizing others from generously giving Jesus their love. It was their worship to Jesus. And that's when we spend time and we worship Jesus. Now we worship at his feet. Everything else will fall into place. And that's where you're supposed to be. Mary and Martha. Jesus told, Martha. It was Martha. She was busy about everything else except worshiping at his feet. Mary worshiped at his feet. So do you see the difference? When we worship at his feet, we're going to be able to do the things that he's calling us to. Without true worship and truth in what he says, not in our religious walk and religious works, that's not the true order of God. When we do unto others even as much as a cup of water, we're doing it unto Jesus. But you can give to as many people as you like, but if you're not walking and worshiping him and following him, then all these other things are going to be nothing. People are going to come to Jesus and say, but Lord, I gave you this. I did this. I did this in your name. And he says, well, I don't know you. You know, it's not the religious aspect of it. Jesus wants us to get out of that religious thinking. When you give your time, clothes, helping someone get a job, clean someone's house because they can't, because they're sick, take some dinner to somebody that's hungry and that can't afford to get dinner. You're doing it for them. You're helping someone straighten out their lives in Jesus. You're doing it unto Jesus. Whatever you do unto them, you're doing it unto him. If that doesn't wake you up, and if that doesn't make you want to cry, I don't know what else will, because that's important. Adopting an orphan. Some of you may need to adopt an orphan. Maybe that's what the Lord is telling you, giving and helping out in an orphanage, helping the needy, the orphan, the widow. Maybe something as simple as mowing her lawn, getting groceries for them, driving them to their doctor's office, to their appointments. It's not just about being empathetic. It's actually doing as the Lord leads you to help them. Many people think, oh, yeah, I gave to the poor. It's more than that. We help people by giving money to all parts of the world sometimes. But it has to start right here where you live, with your neighbors, your coworkers, your school peers, your employees, your churchgoers. Don't just be empathetic with everybody else that you don't know. Remember, you have people all around you. You are linked somehow, some way with someone in your life, whether it's a neighbor, whether it's wherever you work, whether it's your family. You're linked to somebody. Don't just be empathetic. Ask God what to do as you spend time with him in worship. Trust me, you'll be more blessed. When people are always thinking about themselves, you may get into a deep hole sometimes. They get into depression and they forget. But I remember, and I've said this story before about Jan Crouch, where she was in such deep depression that she couldn't even get up and make dinner for her children. And finally, the Lord told her to go to church. And she saw this one young woman that was suffering and was in deep sorrow and in distress. So she went over there and hugged her and ministered to her. And do you know that she came out of her depression because of that? Because she listened to the voice of God and helped the needy. Sometimes you say, oh, well, I'm needy too. Yeah, well, get up and worship and find out what it is that God wants you to do, what he wants you to do, what is for his glory. Amen. And it says in Matthew 26:13, surely I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. In other words, they're going to remember her all over the world. Her example of her giving of her best to Jesus and not looking at how people looked at her, but on how Jesus knew how much she loved him, that's what made it work. It was her worship, her love for him that touched her, that touched other people. And that's why they would remember her. She's an example to us. The woman with the alabaster box is still teaching us how to give our best to God. How is God calling you to give your best? Please understand that if you help others thinking they need Jesus more than you, you're off to a wrong start. We all need Jesus. We all have to have that poor and contrite spirit so that we know that in ourselves we can't do anything. When we understand and remember that we need Jesus just as much as the most vulnerable person out there needs him, then we are able to be God's mouth, his hands, his feet. Then we're able to proclaim peace unto others' lives. There's a scripture that many of the Jews don't even want to touch. And I think it's in Isaiah 61, let's see, 1 minute here, where it talks about the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. There we go again. So you see, Jesus loves the poor. He loves them. The gospel is for them to preach good tidings to the poor. And those that are poor and needy are the ones that are not going to be there all their lives. They're going to transition into abundance. God will give them abundance in their lives, and they will no longer be the poor. And so that's what the good news that we have to share with others, so that wherever they're at, poor and needy, they can also come out of that. It says, to proclaim liberty. So let me back up. He has set me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness. You can see that again? Righteousness. That's his righteousness. The planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. That's it. That's what it's all about. And this chapter 61 is not really touched in many of the places, because that's what got Jesus in trouble in the temple. They don't want to look at this, because if they do, they're going to realize this is talking about Jesus. A lot of this is talking about Jesus, these scriptures. So, okay, let's go back. So everything God tells us when we're obedient to do it, is there's a blessing that comes with that. God is like that. He blesses the giver and the receiver. So both people get blessed. Proverbs 22:9 says, "The generous will themselves be blessed, for they share their food with the poor." more blessings. God will bless us when we are generous. He'll bless us when we give of our possession, of our time. Psalm 72, 12 through 14 says, "For he delivers the needy when they call, the poor and those who have no helper. He has pity on the weak and the needy, and saves the lives of the needy. From oppression and violence, he redeems their life. Precious is their blood in his sight. He loves them because they need. He's there to help them. He loves them." We already seen that here where it says, "To preach good tidings to the poor, a word for those that are needy." We as Christians must be careful to help the needy, but understand that we are in the position of the needy and need to learn to accept help also, because we're all needy in some form or fashion. And so when we learn that we need the same things that they need to, and we listen, we accept the help when we need it, but not only rely on others, God shows us in Thessalonians 3:11-12 that we can't be lazy. So we may be needy, and we accept the help, but it's not for us to stay in that position. He doesn't want us to be lazy. The help comes so that you can move on, not for you to do nothing. We also must be busy with the Lord's work. For we hear that some among you, it says, walk in an idleness, but busy, not busy at work, but busy bodies. In other words, they're not doing anything. So as the days grow darker for those who are not listening to God and don't have God in their lives, we're going to see more of these people needing help. And it's the church's job to help them, spiritually speaking and physically speaking. We shouldn't even be seeing all these programs that the government is doing. That's the church's job. We are the church. It is our responsibility to help others. It's not the government. Our help should only be a lifeline for those in need, not a dependence on our help, okay? And I know we get mad at certain people, but hey, what are you doing? Are you reading the word and seeing what God wants you to do, how to minister to that person so that they can move forward and receive God's blessings and be blessed also? Because that's the tidings. The good tidings are for them. Then we truly help others come out of their poverty. Jesus came to set us free. Amen? Them and us. So don't think that, I'm helping them. But it's you need to understand that when you have a need, you're also to reach out for help. And God will help you. This is for you and for them. Some people get so high-minded that they think that, I've arrived. That's a religious mindset, okay? And so I'll leave you with that tonight. And those that want to be ministered to tonight, please remember that when you dial 1 on your pad, that'll let you into the queue, and it'll say you're now in the queue. And if you press 1 again, it'll say you're now off the queue. So I have some callers online, but not everybody's raising their hand. But here we go. All right. My first caller is 402-214. And I want your name and where you're from. Give me one moment where this opens up. Blog Talk is being a little slow tonight. It's going round and round. Give me a minute. Okay. Let's see. I do apologize. Let's see if I can refresh this. I know that Prophet Randy was having a hard time the other night, that it was acting up. I don't know. The internet has been acting up, I think, everywhere. Okay, let's see. Let me try something else. This is not working. All right. Let me see if it refreshes. Please be patient, and I see something happening. Let's see if it works. It froze on me a little. All right, there we go. Okay, let's see. All right, 402-214, your name and where you're from.
Hi, honey. It's Sharon from New York. Hi, Carmen.
Oh, God bless you. Let me put you on mute, and I'll be right back. Thank you, Lord, for Sharon. Thank you, Lord, for her life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in her life. And I thank you, Father God, because she's in a good place where she can receive from you. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. And thank you, Jesus. You're in a good place, Sharon. I see that you're right there where you need to be, at his feet, worshiping him, knowing that there is nothing in you that you can give to him, but that it's all about him. It's all about him, Sharon. And, wow, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He sees you, Sharon. He sees that you are not unnoticed. He knows and he understands. He hears your prayers. And they're pleasing to him. And it's not the way everybody thinks, but the way he sees you. And that's what's important. And he loves you. He sees you. And the good news is for you, Sharon. The good news is for you. And he's here for you. He's here for you to show you and guide you in the ways that he wants to lead you. But you have to listen. 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 And you'll hear him speak to you, and you'll see. You won't be in the same place. At the end of this year, you're not going to be in the same place. So we thank you, Lord, for Sharon. We thank you for the walk. Even though you may not be able to walk physically the way you want, but spiritually, you're going to have a different walk. And we thank you, Father God, for that walk. We ask you, Father God, to help her and guide her and lead her, Father God, in your ways like never before. That she will see you in ways that she's never thought that she could see you. And we just thank you for that new walk, Father God, that new walk that's going with that new talk. And we thank you, Father God, with the walk and the talk. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. And we also have Daniel on the line. So if Daniel has anything for the callers, you can jump right in. All right. Let me put Sharon on the line. Sharon, how are you?
Hi, honey. Well, you know, you just kind of brought me tears here because I have been praying. A lot of things going on that I'm not sure about, you know, kind of a lot of negative coming at me, and I'm trying to put out love and a lot of walls between me and trying to fix things. So, mm-hmm. or to have people understand. So I guess that would be, that was comforting to know, to hear you say that he knows my heart, or he hears my prayers.
He does.
Would you pray for a friend of mine?
Sure.
His name's Kevin.
Okay.
And he's having a hard time seeing what I'm trying to say. Not believing.
Okay. Yeah, but it's not what we say. It's as we seek the Lord, he's going to give us the right words. And sometimes they don't get it right away, but with our prayers, the Lord opened. The Holy Spirit is the one that does the convincing and showing them
right.
everything.
Right.
And so as
right.
you allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life through you, spending time in worshiping him and reading his word and letting him guide you, then your words will be that those anointed words he's going to guide you with. But you have to let the Holy Spirit work it out. It's not
oh,
us.
Yeah.
It's him. Yeah. And so sometimes, you know, you tell people year after year, but it's not that way. It's as we seek the Holy Spirit, he shows us exactly what to tell them. How many times have I told certain people and they in one ear, out the other. So I thought. But as I prayed that my words would not go in one ear and out the other. I would pray that, you know, the Holy Spirit will work through me to say what I needed to say and work through that those words that they would be reminded of what God wanted from them. And sometimes he works slow, you know, because we think it's slow, but he's working things out to let things orchestrate. And so to teach people certain things before he can really
right.
come in at the perfect time, you know.
We have to allow that. Yes, but I'm asking for prayer that they open their hearts to listen.
Okay.
What All God right. has to
Father
say.
God, Father God, we just thank you for sharing for the heart, for the lost souls, for the needy. Father God, her heart is after those things that are important to you. And she's ministered to her friend, Father God, and she's concerned for her friend. We ask you, Father God, we lift up Kevin, Father God. And she mentions that he's having a hard time with receiving the things that she's sharing with him. And I pray, Father God, that you would just minister to him and touch him in a way, Father God, that his eyes will be open. I pray that you take the scales off of his eyes, like you did with Paul, that he begin to see that the scales that robbed him from understanding your word and kept him in religious works, Father God, that those scales will be taken off from him and that he will see. We just pray that you orchestrate that, Father God. We pray that if it's either Sharon or someone else, Father God, that you use for your glory. And I pray, Father God, that you would touch Sharon, Father God, and bless her, Father God, with your word as she seeks you more and more, Father God, and bless her for wanting those that are lost to know you, Jesus, as their Lord and Savior. Lord, be with her and give her more understanding of your word, so that she can give more of your word to others, Father God. Thank you, Father God, for that heart's desire, Father God, to know you more, to walk in your ways, to touch others, Father God, so that others will know you. Bless her, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray. Bless Kevin. Help him, Father God, that wherever he looks, he'll hear your voice. And the voice of a stranger he will not hear. Help him to hear your voice in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, Sharon. Do you have a testimony tonight for us?
Mm.
Do you have a testimony for us, Sharon?
Well, no.
Okay.
Not yet. Not yet.
I like that.
In the works. It's in the works.
Yes, I like that. I like that. All right, girl. Is there anything
Carmen,
else you would like
Carmen,
to say tonight?
Can I add something there?
Sure, sure. Go ahead.
Sharon, what came to mind is when the Lord is sending out the 70 disciples in Luke, I think it's Luke 10:3, he says, "Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves." I think our challenging part is when the word wolves, I mean, even in my own personal life, that sometimes means family, friends.
Yeah.
You know, that's probably the toughest part, okay, because you're thinking wolves being, you know, just these horrible creatures, but yet some of the ones that you love the dearest are sometimes some of the biggest obstacles that we have to try and, you know, lure to the Lord. He warns us about it. So it's kind of like, I mean, your heart hurts. I have issues with my own family. Sometimes I'm like, you want the best and we, you know, as Carmen says, we pray for the words to give to them. That's going to be that word that clicks, whatever clicks, you know, for them. And, you know, that's where we spend a lot of our prayer time is, like, you know, for our family and friends, neighbors, you know, people that you truly care for, that, you know deep in your heart that they're technically lost, and we're trying to help them. So, you know, the Lord does warn us that, you know, it's not going to be easy. So I just wanted to share that with you. But at the same time, he tells us that, you know, when he sent out those 70, he told them, "I give you authority to trample over serpents and scorpions and over the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." I think, you know, that's what we've got to keep in the back of our mind is that, you know, we don't give up. We go, go, go. And the Holy Spirit will, you know, give us those words as long as we stay in prayer and you know, go forward. So, you know, the battle has begun. It's just a matter of, you know, as Carmen says, it takes a while sometimes, but you know, we'll all get there. Amen.
Thank you so much. What
you know,
passage was that, Luke? What, honey?
Luke 10:3.
Okay, thank
10:3,
you.
And then Luke 18-19.
Okay.
As he was talking, you know what, I personally, I try to provoke them to jealousy. I tell them of all the things that the Lord, to provoke them to jealousy, to make them jealous of what I have with God, and they'll want it too, and they'll come to you, and when they see what God is doing in your life, the love, the peace, the things that he's working out because you're spending time with the Lord, they're going to want that too. And at first, they might not think you're the real deal, but then over time, when they see what God is doing in your life, they're going to go, "I want what she has. I want some of that." And so basically, that's what I do with people. I just, you know, share what God does for me and what, you know, and I laugh at the things that he does and he teaches me. And they look at me and they want what I want, what I have with God. So, maybe provoking them to jealousy and letting God be the one to lure them in and show them that, you know, look what you can have too. Amen. It's like I was watching my daughter's dogs, and there's an older dog that she didn't that stayed with me, and she bought her a bone, right? And I hate to compare us to animals, but animals act so much like little kids. And so,
for sure.
she bought her this huge bone, and she didn't want it. But when she got home and the family came back together, there's two other dogs that are younger than her, and they're over there, and they're playing together. And the other dogs, as soon as they saw the bone, they went towards it. And it provoked her to jealousy. She wanted what they had. Meanwhile, when she was alone, she didn't want it. But when she saw what the other two had, she ate what she didn't want the whole week. and children are like that too.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, children are like that too. Yeah. They, you know, they want what the other one has. Meanwhile, it was sitting there all that time, and they didn't bother with it. And so when we provoke others with the things of God in a beautiful way and let them see that they too can have the same thing, you know, with what God shows you, you know, they're going to want that. And otherwise, sometimes they won't even bother with it. But when they see how it works for you, they're going to see the blessings of the Lord at work, live and in action. You see what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I do.
So God is going to be like, okay, come
sometimes,
on. And so,
I've got all these barriers that make it so difficult to be able to communicate that, to even provoke the jealousy, because if you can't communicate, you can't do that. So I'm, you know, praying
pray that God will somehow bring somebody to you or these people to you so that you can minister to them. It doesn't have to be in person. It could be over the phone. I mean, you never know who God is going to use for you to minister to. And we should, you know, yes, we may be needy ourselves, but that doesn't mean that we can't minister to others, you know?
Right.
And so, God meets our needs, but he uses us to meet other people's needs spiritually and physically and in so many different ways. So it could be family. It could be, you know, it could be anybody that God, you just, you know, don't decide on who you want to be able to do it for. It's who God sends you. Amen.
Right.
Because he knows exactly what you have to give to that person. He knows. He's going to. You just leave it in God's hands and worship him, and it'll happen. I'm telling you, the greatest times that God has used me is after I've been at his feet, worshiping and praying and seeking him. And then when I go out, there's somebody there. Boom. I remember one time I was in need, and I had my car all messed up. I had an old car, and I needed to get it. I needed to get some money at the bank to go and get my car fixed. But the thing was that I had been in worship and praying, and my car was messed up, and so I didn't know where to go and how to get my car fixed. But after I had worshiped the Lord and gave him all my cares, I got up from there, and I finally had to tell the Lord, "Lord, you know, I can't stay here all day. I got to get something done with that car." I just felt it in my spirit that I was done, you know, that what I had done there, that he had done in me at that time was done, was finished. So I get up, and I go, and I call a taxi because I couldn't go to the bank. And I'm here in the back. I'm feeling really good because I was with the Lord. And I'm talking to the guy that's in the front. This is years ago, like 20 years ago, where you didn't see these kinds of people. And so I'm ministering to him and telling him about the Lord. God put me that young man. I'd never seen him before. And he's driving, and he said, and I invited him to my church, and I said, "You know what? Well, you know, we got into a conversation, and I invited him, and he says, "My girlfriend goes to that church." And then he says, "Well, could you pray for me?" Because somebody had robbed his gun, and he was worried about it because, you know, he didn't want it to fall in the wrong hands. And so I prayed for him. And when I got out, I was sitting in the van. When I moved to the front, this guy was covered in tattoos. And I was like, you know, if I would have seen him, he probably would have intimidated me, but God didn't let me see none of that.
Right.
And I ministered to him. And he was so happy. He was so happy. So, you know, I was telling him about all the stuff that God was doing and this and that. And he was happy to know that God had sent a believer that was in his girlfriend's church.
Oh, absolutely.
So I don't know if he, it was a large church, so I don't know if he went or not. I've never, you know, seen him after that. But
you planted a seed. You really planted a seed.
Exactly. That's what you're going to do. You're planting a seed. You're not going to do it all. God allows one thing to happen with another person and with this person, and he knows how to orchestrate things. You just have to have faith that God is doing it in this man, and that's it. You know, you enjoy the ride and enjoy God and love him. Love him. And
this man can
go and love
others. He's very, he is a believer. He's very devoted to God, so
okay.
That's why he'll hear. I'm sure he'll hear the message. I just don't know if I'll ever find out about it, you know.
Well, sometimes we do, sometimes
but
we
that's
don't.
Not my
so
business.
We just trust in the Lord.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. You know, it's like I said that I was praying for my mom that she would have a Christian friend, and I never, you know, I had not stopped praying. And so I'm like, Lord, send her a Christian friend so that she can share the word of God with my mom and this and that. And years later, I went to visit my mom, and my mom says, hey, I want you to come with me to be my friend. She was always talking about this one lady that she worked with. And she had retired, but she would continue talking to her. So when I go to her house, this lady's a Christian. And I was like, thank you, Jesus. I didn't know.
Right.
I was like, thank you, Jesus. He says, yeah, I'm your mom's friend, believe it or not. Because my mom was pretty difficult that time, you know. And so she ministered to mom. So you never know. You never know.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
But it's like the more
like
the better. Well, I just wanted to say, you know, the more you're trying to do God's work or the more you love, the more you're going to get attacked. So I'm praying for protection from that.
Yeah, when you're in him, you're good. You're good. You're good. You'll feel his presence. You're good. You don't have to worry about those things. When you're truly in him and you worship him, his presence is there. He's there. You know, there's nothing that the enemy can do. No weapon formed against you can prosper. But you have to believe that. You have to have faith in what he says. So, and it is true. So,
I know nothing happens that you want unless he allows it. So.
Remember, it says no weapon that is formed. There's always going to be formed weapons, but they won't prosper. They're not going to prosper.
Right.
You know, it's like it boomerangs. And we don't want that for them, but they shouldn't be, you know, spewing evil at us either. God protects us. And you know what? God so loved the world. He loves everybody. And so we just, you know, let them learn lessons, Lord. As they try to do these things, that they'll learn not to do those things again. And we don't have to worry about those things. God is real, and his angels are there. They're real, too, and they're powerful. So just trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. So just worship. Stay at his feet. Don't be a Martha. Be a Mary. Amen?
Yeah, that's funny. I always look at those two, and I think I've been a lot of Martha. Yeah. And then I've been Mary. I've been both.
Yeah, exactly. I'm glad you said that. And that's being truthful. We all have been in both positions. Sometimes we're at his feet. Sometimes we worry about the things that we shouldn't be worried about and spend time with the Lord. And so, you know, it's a journey. And God loves us, and he'll help us. But we seek his face for his help, and he'll help us. Amen?
Amen.
I'm glad you said
okay.
that. That was good. You know what? I'm glad you said that mm-hmm. because there may be other people listening and they need to hear that too. Amen.
Well,
thank
you so
you.
Much for your prayer. Thank you, Daniel. Thank you both.
Yes. Thank you for
me
calling.
And your prayer.
It's always a pleasure to hear you.
Yeah, thank
mm-hmm.
you, honey. All right.
God
bless you.
You
okay.
All
okay,
right.
Honey.
Bye-bye. Bye. Okay. Next caller, 870-415. Your name and where you're from. Excuse me a minute because this is so small on my phone.
Hi, Corman. This is Shavonda from Arkansas.
Shavonda?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Give me one moment. I'll put you on mute and I'll get back to you. Thank you, Lord, for Shavonda. I thank you, Father, what you're doing in her life. And I pray that the callers be patient because sometimes they're not patient in waiting. And they immediately, you know, want to hang up and they get on the line and, you know, I understand. But, you know, I'll answer your calls. I'll be, even after the show turns off, I'll continue ministering to you. So be patient. Thank you, Lord, for Shavonda. Shavonda, Lord, thank you for her life. Sometimes, you know, thank you, Jesus. Sometimes we go in a way that we know we're not supposed to go. And God is patient. He's patient waiting for you in the last place you left him. He doesn't leave us. He doesn't leave us. We're the ones that sometimes leave him. And when you go back to where you were, where you left him off the last time, that's where he'll be again. And so God is going to be there with open arms to love you and to show you. As you stay and remain in him, he'll remain in you. Shavonda, sometimes the things of the world sometimes pull us. They pull us. But you know God is always there waiting for you with loving arms. He's always waiting for you with loving arms. And we all fall short of the glory of God sometimes when we do things our way and not his way. But, you know, he's ready for you. He's ready for you just, you know, with open arms. He's there for you. And he's going to guide you. He's going to lead you. And you're not there alone. You have your brothers and your sisters in Christ that are there to help you help you to go in the right way with the direction of the Holy Spirit. So know that we all mess up. We all mess up. But you know what? God knows that. He already knew that we would always do something, but he's there. But it's when we willfully do things that are not pleasing to him. He's long-suffering. He is long-suffering. But there are consequences when we don't turn to him for help. There are consequences, Shavonda. And so with much love, the Lord is letting you know that he's here for you. He's not forsaking you. He's loving you. And he's placed people that are on PGN to be here to love you and to help you and to pray for you. And he's placed even family. I see family members that are there telling you and helping you. And he loves you so much, Shavonda. You have no idea, girl, how much he loves you. I thank you, Lord, for the turnaround. I thank you, Lord, because you're giving her the strength to turn around and to stay in the place that you have called her to stay. Thank you, Father God, for Shavonda. I thank you, Lord, because I see some things falling off of you. There's some things that are falling off of you, things and ways that as you walk in, they're falling off of you. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we declare and decree that over her. In the name of Jesus, and we thank you, Father God, for what you're doing for Shavonda, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We praise your holy name. Let me have her get on. Hey, hello, Savanda. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. Yeah, today was kind of a rough day.
I'm sorry to hear that.
It started off good, and it was somebody else's pain, but right before that, kind of just sitting in my car, and I just told God, I was just telling him some things that I felt, and I told him I felt bad for feeling that way, and I don't understand why. I didn't understand. And right after I said it, and I was saying that I just need to, go read and get in the Word, and it's not just my hormones or whatever, but somebody had just walked out of the hospital, this gentleman, and I just asked him, was he okay? And he told me that him and his spouse had just lost their baby, and I don't know, I guess I picked up on his emotions too, and it kind of broke my heart. And I did end up having the baby. Y'all have been corporately praying for me to have a healthy pregnancy. And, he was born on the 3rd, and he's doing good. Yeah. I was going to ask Prophet Randy, was it okay to send a picture so y'all could see him, just to be able to share him with y'all? It's Hosanna. He was actually, the issue that I was having was one that they never could figure out with any of my other pregnancies. It's called intrauterine growth restriction, where either the baby stops growing themselves or they just run out of room. And he was born, he tried to come on my birthday on the 19th, and I had to stay in the hospital 2 hours away, but it worked out where I could stay at my local hospital, and I had surgery immediately on the 3rd, and he came. He was healthy, didn't have to be on monitors, didn't have to be on feeding. He's doing good, just has to gain a couple of more pounds because he was 3 pounds and 6 ounces, and I was just feeling really bad and low, and I don't know. I remember all of God's promises. I just was feeling terrible. I don't know why I started feeling like I guess because some of the people that claim that they will be there for me, not just during this time, but just in general in life, even if I was, you give so much of yourself to other people, regardless of how you feel, I got to feeling really bad. And I had to end up, that happened. I've lost children before, and I didn't know I was going to end up talking to that man. And, I was so, I had to be grateful because I came back up here to my baby. And I have family members that are feeling like I'm neglecting them, but I'm dealing with other things I need to be concerned about. And I'm okay. So I just have to be grateful.
This is your time to take care of you. It's your time to take care of you and your baby and your immediate family. And they can be helpful. If they're not, well, then they're going to have to wait. You take care of yourself. Don't allow. This is a very delicate time for you, in your body, in your emotions, in your strength, and you have to protect yourself and rest. Drink good food, drink good things, eat good food, and rebuild. This is your time to rebuild yourself in your body, in your emotions, spending time with God. Put worship music, put musical worship music as you play and worship the Lord in the baby's bedroom, in your room. If you have the baby with you, in the bassinet, you can, play soft music and worship, And just rest in him. Let him love you. Worship him. And well, do you know the couple that lost the baby?
I didn't know. No, I didn't even know them. Like, it just randomly coming across people in conversation, you know, I mean, passing. He just was looking a certain type of way. I knew it was something, you know, it's at a hospital, but I didn't, you know, never assume what's going on with somebody. And I asked him, he just instantly busted out. Ma'am?
Did you talk to
Ma'am?
Him?
Yes, I was like getting out of my car, getting ready to go back inside the hospital, and I was speaking to him, and then I said, "Are you okay?" And he just instantly, you know, just started telling me what happened and like grieving, and I was asked him, "Could I give him a hug?" Mm-hmm. And said a short prayer and told him what happened with me and my husband with our child losses. And sometimes all people say don't pause. Yeah, and actually,
you know,
after
that
he
was not
left,
a coincidence. That's not
a
coincidence, Wanda.
Yeah, all
because
of my energy had left.
Yeah, that how is it, you know, that's not a coincidence because, you knew his pain and you mm-hmm. picked up on that. But let's take that pain that you picked up. And let's, right now, we're going to pray for this man. That's what you're picking up. And also, at this time, just forgive your family members and forgive them because they don't understand what you're going through and all the things that you're really needing from them right now. So let's lift this man up. We don't know his name, Lord, but we know the pain of a loss of a child, Father God. And we ask you, Father God, and the loss of any family member, Lord, for that matter, we ask you, Father God, to be with this man. We lift up this burden that Shavonda picked up, Father God. And we ask you, Father God, that you take this man's burden and that you be with him and his family, that you bring healing in their hearts, and that you bring, Father God, a reconciliation with you, Father God, that this man will turn to you for help and for the healing that he needs, Father God, right now, for his wife that lost his baby, Father God, or his girlfriend, whoever she may be. We ask you, Father God, for their families, that you would bring healing, Father God, that you would just touch them, and Father God, that they would know that you're there for them. I don't know what the situation is, if they were married, not married, Father God, but I do ask that you bring healing and that you bring these two people, Father God, to their knees for you, to seek you like never before, and that they would turn to you, Father God, and that you will bless their future, Father God, in you, Father God. And Lord, I pray for Shavonda that whatever burden, heavy burden, we just lift that off. We give it to you, Father God, and we ask you, Father God, to give her peace, 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 that her house is surrounded by peace. We bind that spirit of heaviness that has come over her, but we thank you, Father God, because you used her to minister to this man. Nobody would be able to understand him like she did, Father God, because of the babies that she lost, Father. And we ask you, Father God, that you would let Hosanna raise up, Father God, a strong man, strong in the Lord. And I pray that you make him strong and full of your spirit. I thank you, and I pray that you give his parents wisdom to raise him in the right way to go, Father God, because without you, they won't be able to know how to do this. We ask you, Father God, to be with them and to teach them and to teach them how to teach this child. We ask you, Father God, that you touch the hearts of her family members, that they would realize that she's in time of need, that she needs help now with assistance with the baby, Father God. And I pray, Father God, that when she rests, that she would rest in your peace. As she rests and the baby would rest alongside with her, Father God, that they will both rest and wake up refreshed, that they will be touched, Father God. And I pray that you would keep Hosanna on the right time, Father God, when he has to sleep and wakes up when he needs to wake up, Father God. And we thank you for that in the name of Jesus. We thank you for what you're going to do in this child. Thank you for the new PGN baby, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Make them strong and healthy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Oh, I can't wait to see the picture. Prophet Randy, I don't know. Send it to me, Prophet Randy, if you're hearing. Oh,
yes,
man, that's
have
good
to,
news.
I'll have to send it right now. Yeah, we have to stay here until he gains a couple pounds. But, I mean, you know what? It's locally. If I need to go home, I'll go home.
Enjoy it in there.
Yeah. Just, I don't know. That did take a toll on me. After I hugged him, I guess it transferred everything he was feeling in. I prayed and it just weighed heavily, like I was literally grieving. Because after mm-hmm. he left,
you
the hearse pulled right up in front of my car.
Oh God, that was God.
Yeah,
that was God. That was God. And learn and forgive your family. Forgive them.
Yeah.
You know, God loves you. God loves you. And I know sometimes it's hard to receive, you know, hurts from family members, from the people that you love the most. But, you know, you have to forgive them and keep moving on and praying for them that God would open their eyes to know, you know, the right things to do and to say. And, you know, you have to leave them in God's hands because you can't make anybody do anything. You have to let God do
right.
that. And it hurts. The closer people are to you, the more it hurts. But
right.
you know what? You got that baby. That baby, your little baby doll.
I'm so in love with him.
How many pounds did he weigh?
3 pounds, 6 ounces.
Oh,
a miracle
okay.
baby.
Yeah. Okay. Lord, fill him up, but not too much. We don't want a chunky monkey, Lord. We want a healthy baby, Father God. Help him to fatten up so that he can go home and be played by his mommy and his family, Father, in the name of Jesus. Wow. That's wonderful to have a new baby in the family. Aww. Oh, yes. I wish I was around so I could play with the baby.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Carmen, can I add something?
Sure.
Shavandra, as you know, Hosanna's name is Pray, Save Us. And the Lord led me to read. So I'm going to read this for, I guess, all of us. I'm in Psalm 86, 2 through 5. Preserve my life, for I am holy. You are my God. Save your servant who trusts in you. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I cry to you all day long. Rejoice the soul of your servant. For to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. Amen. I mean, you're blessed with Hosanna. I mean, as Carmen prayed that prayer, I mean, I think it struck all of us. So Hosanna has a purpose in this life and world. You will be blessed. Amen.
Amen. And God bless you all. I'm sending the pictures now. Whew, I feel so much better, too.
Yeah, good, because that prayer was lifted off. You know, that heaviness was lifted off from you. But, you know, it wasn't a coincidence that you were there. Danny, tell her something, you know, about yourself, about, you know, the similarities. Yeah, it's no coincidence that you get on PGN and talk to the people that you talk to because we understand. And so, Danny, speak to her about it.
I've just experienced over the years just many occasions where you really can't figure it out because, you know, the Lord's the one orchestrating it, but you're able to use your discernment of this gentleman's eyes or face was all you needed to see to feel the pain. He's done that for me a few times. I've shared with Carmen about being somewhere one time where in a crowd, the Lord points somebody out and says, that person's hungry. And I'm like, wow. So, you know, you go in faith, and I bought some food, and I take it to the young gentleman. He tells me, you know, he looks up and he says, How did you know I hadn't eaten in 3 days? I mean, there are no words that can come out of our mouth, okay, because it wasn't me. But yet, that's how the Lord uses us. So you were there, the right time, the right place. At right time, right place. You saw the pain. And that's something that, you know, he does gift us to be able to see that. That discernment is a gift. So whenever that happens, faithfully just pray for them. Even a couple of words is all they need, because nobody else would have noticed them. Nobody else probably even noticed them as you walked by. But the Lord chose you to talk to them. So, again, all the Lord's orchestrating the whole thing. Amen.
Well, amen. Those that are listening, remember that when you pray for others and you're starting to feel what they feel, remember to lift that up in prayer to the Lord. He places us in a position where we minister to them, but it's for us to lift it up to the Lord, because they're sometimes so heavy in their pain, they can't even pray at times. And so our prayers lifted up to the Lord, it's like, you know, lifting their hands for them. I also wanted to mention, you know, what the victories that God gives. Daniel, but his name is Daniel. He had, before, when he was married before, his ex-wife would miscarry, and he finally had one daughter. That one daughter grew up to be a woman, and she now has two baby girls. So you see where the blessings of the Lord are? He's going to bless you, and you got to continue praying for your children. And training them and loving on them, and the best is yet to come. Amen. And I knew that I had seen, I don't know, some weeks back I saw you dancing, you know, like twirling around. And so, see, that was the Lord. I told you.
Yes.
He was coming soon.
Thank you, Jesus.
God is good.
Yes.
Wow. All right. Absolutely. What a testimony. I praise the Lord.
Amen.
All right, girl. Is there anything else you'd like to say?
No, ma'am. God bless y'all so much. That did need to come off. And, you know, sometimes you can say constantly be in prayer, and sometimes it may take you a little longer as a person to try to get things, shake things off of you, but sometimes it's not the things that you can do, and by y'all helping to pray and come in one accord, yeah, that helped lift that thing off of me, because I was, even my voices, it drained me. After I hugged him,
I could hear it in your voice now. Thank you, Jesus. Well, God has it. God's going to take care of it, and God's going to take care of you and the baby. And just, you know, like I said before, just pray for your family and forgive them.
Yes.
You know, people do things they don't understand. But thank you, Jesus. It's all right. It's all right. Oh,
it is.
I'm happy. I want to see the baby.
All right.
Yes.
God bless you guys.
God bless you. All right. Bye-bye. God bless. All right. 252-725, your name and where you're from.
My name is Vicki, and I'm from Newport, North Carolina.
Okay. Oh, North Carolina. I love North Carolina. All right. Hold on. Let me put you on mute, and then I'll come back to you. All right. Let's see. I want to make sure that I'm muting the right one. Wait a minute. Oh, I think her phone number dropped. I guess I'll wait for her to call back again. All right. My next caller, I do hope she calls. 251-229. Your name and where you're from. Oh, man. Did that phone number dropped.
Hey,
Your name and where you're from?
I'm Sarah from Alabama.
All right. Sarah. Yeah, I have another Sarah here. I have a granddaughter named Sarah. She's at, visiting with me. All right, let me put you on mute, and I'll be right back. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Okay, I see Vicky. She's on the line. I'll get you as soon as I'm done with Sarah. I'm so sorry about that. The call dropped for some reason. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Sarah. Thank you, Jesus, for Sarah from Alabama. Thank you, Lord. You know, I see perimeters, and there's some perimeters that are going to keep you safe. These perimeters are, you know that where those perimeters are. And those perimeters, this is what I'm getting, perimeters are there for safety. And God is showing you these perimeters. I don't even know why I'm saying perimeters. But it's almost like God is showing you the invisible thing that you need to stay with either outside of so that you will be protected from what's inside there. And so we thank you, Lord, for the protection that you have over Sarah, for the protection that you have over Sarah and the guidance that you're giving her, showing her where it is not allowed for her to go through and that something that's going to keep her safe. And I thank you, Father God, for that protection. I thank you, Lord, for that protection because you protect your own. Thank you, Father God, for that protection. That's all I'm getting, and I thank you, Lord, for that. I thank you for Sarah's life, for this woman of God that loves you and that wants to obey your word and knows the perimeters of your of the things in your words that she is not to go over for protection. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm not sure what that's all about, but that's all I'm getting. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Sarah, you there?
I'm here.
All right. How's everything? Happy New Year, 2023. It's kind of hard for me to get used to saying 2023. I wanted to say 2022. Oh, wow. So many numbers now. First it was in the 19-something, and now we're in the year 2000-something, 23. Wow.
Wow.
Time is going by fast. So how are you? How's your daughter and how's your new year?
Well, the new year's good. I'm thankful for the Lord, to the Lord for another year. And then my birthday is on the 11th, so I'm like, okay, thank you for another year. It has not arrived yet, but I'm just thankful for another year for 2023 and thankful on that end. And my daughter, she's doing pretty good. She's her classes start on the 9th. So I just wanted to pray that everything goes well in that area.
Okay.
In her classes. And for the Lord keeping me safe, just praying for a closer walk with him. So when I read the word, I will get more divine revelation knowledge in his word.
Okay. Well, yeah. You know, before we begin, happy early birthday to you. May God give you many, many blessings and that it'll be an awesome year for you. And Lord, we just lift up Sarah, Father God, for her birthday, that you allow her to have such a wonderful day, Father God, and that there be new beginnings for her at that time. So we lift up her daughter in school. We just pray that everything will be set in order, that you would guide her daughter to know what courses she needs to take, or what routes she needs to do. And I just pray that this will be an easier semester, Father God, that it will be a joyful semester where what she's learning is so much fun for her that that it's such easy learning for her, Father God, because when we learn things that are up our alley, that are the things that you have ordained for us, Lord, there is a joy about that, and it's easier. And so I thank you, Father God, for the professors, that she has good professors that train her well, and bless her, Father God, prepare her for that new position that she will take once she finishes school, Father God, that you would have the place, the people, the right connections, that she would have divine connections, Father God, in the new realm that she'll be working in. And we thank you for that, for her, Lord, and we just pray for Sarah too, Lord, that you would open new doors for her, Father God, new doors opening for her, blessing her, Father God, blessing her to go higher, Father God, whether it's at her current job or at a different job, Lord. We just pray, Father God, for those new doors. I don't know where those new doors are going to be, but we thank you, Father God, for the new doors opening in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God. And, Lord, we just pray for a refreshing over Sarah, Father God, to invigorate her, Father God. Lord, we bind anything that's causing heaviness over her, anything that is sapping her of her energy, Father God. We pray that you give her wisdom in taking care of her body, Father God, as she's beginning to get older, Father God, that you will give her the wisdom that she needs. And we pray, Father God, that your blood will just flow through her, Father God, invigorating her, Father God. We just thank you, Father God, for this new year coming that's going to change for her, for the wisdom that you're going to give her, Father God. Thank you, Father God, for that in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God, for what you're doing. I pray, Father God, that you touch her right now from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, and that whatever is there that is hindering her, Father God, in some way, Father God, I'm just sensing some kind of hindrance over you, like you're just feeling blocked. And we just pray, Father God, that you remove that in the name of Jesus. We lift that up to you, and we give that to you, Lord. And we ask you, Father God, for your blessings over her. Thank you for touching her mind. Thank you, Father God, that as she speaks your word, that she's going to begin to see something different in your word. We thank you, Father God, for that. In the name of Jesus, I just see you reading this. I don't know. There's something about your time with the Lord that I see you spending time with the Lord and reading. And I don't know. There's something that was there, you know, making you feel, ugh, you know, like blah. And you try to shake it off, but it's almost like you couldn't. But in the name of Jesus, we take authority over that, and we ask you, Father God, remove it completely in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for Sarah. Thank you, Lord, for her life. Thank you, Lord, for the direction you give her in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hello, Sarah?
I'm here.
I had her on. Okay. Hey, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm
okay.
I'm thankful for your prayers, because you're right. The Lord led me, you know, for the right words to say. I was feeling blah at one time, and I start using, you know, positive affirmations and in the word of the Lord. And when I have time with the Lord, I just try to make it every day, and I just read out loud the Bible and spend time with him. Like, I have the app on the phone, and it rings, and it tells me, you know, when it's time to pray and everything. But yeah, so I've been doing that. You know, I said 2023, you know, I wanted to go ahead and get closer to the Lord and read the word, you know, and read it out loud and spend time with the Lord and get closer to him. And I think when you were, when the Lord gave you to say, it's like a fighting. I don't know if it's just the enemy that wants to fight while I'm reading the word or knowing that I'm getting closer to him. So he tries to fight and hinder that area.
Yeah, that's why I was feeling like you were in that that blah, and it's like it's zapping your energies, and that's what the enemy's fighting you. You know, as you spend time with the Lord, just persist. You know, keep pushing it with the word. You know, and sometimes you know it's like when we're dry. That's sometimes when we need more of the word, the washing of the water, the word to you know fill us up. It's like almost like you look out in the winter time, you know, everything is dry. And as soon as you put some water in it, it just like, it soaks it all up. And it takes a while for it to, you know, get green back again, but the life is still there. And so that's what the enemy has been trying to do to you, like to sap you of your, even your physical strength. And so spend more time with the Lord, and he'll give you wisdom as to what to do. Whatever it is that you need to do, he'll give you more wisdom. But you know, don't allow the enemy. Sometimes we need a little more, because we're going through a dry season or a winter season. You know, there's different seasons that sap our energy, our strength. But as we spend more time with the Lord and give ourselves that tender, loving care in his presence, you do feel better. I remember one time I had gone to church. And my family didn't want to go to church. And I said, no, we got to go to church. And we were feeling blah. And when we went to church and we got out of church, man, it was almost like that's exactly what we needed. We came out like so refreshed. And we were so glad because the word that we had heard was exactly what we needed. It was exactly what we needed. And so that's what I'm saying. Spend time in the word. You know, God is going to give you exactly what you need when you're spending time with him. Spend time worshiping him. Like we were talking earlier about Martha and Mary. Mary did what was pleasing in the eyes of God because she spent time at his feet. While Martha was too busy with life. And, you know, and she was worried about this. She was worried about that. And that was sapping her of her energy, you know. And so spend time with the Lord. You feel refreshed. You feel like, oh, yeah, this is exactly what I needed. And then you don't know how to break away. Have you ever done that when you're spending time with the Lord and you're having so much fun listening to what he's telling you that you have other things to do and you don't know how to break away, but you want to stay there at his feet?
I wanted to do that. And actually, I have been spending more time with them. Like I will take time to read the Bible and start off with, I will do in the morning, the Psalms, read Psalms, the book of Psalms. And then at night I will go into the New Testament, which is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I know you already know. And so, and then after I do that, I will go to Proverbs. So it's like I'm trying to, it sounds like I'm hopping around, but it's like, okay, how can I finish it in a year? And so I'm just enjoying what I do. And you're right. You know, at one point I was thinking about, okay, do I need to move from my location? Do I need to do this? And if you know, it's like if you think about too many things, it's exactly what you were saying. It can take away your energy when you just need to focus on the word, get watered by the word and refreshed, then think about other things because the Lord has already watered you. You're ready to go on. Put him first.
I like the way you put it. Yes, I like the way you put it. That's really good. That's really good. We need to put you on PGN to preach. You say it so well. Well, that's really good. And journal that, and then as the Lord shows you, you know, come back and not only do it, but come back and share what you did. Because sometimes other people need to hear what we go through so that, you know, they understand that, oh, man, maybe that's what's going on with my life. And we're actually preaching and helping them and ministering to them. So what you're saying right now is ministering to somebody. Amen?
Yeah. I'm here.
Mm-hmm. All right, Sarah. Is there anything else you would like to have us pray for?
Well, when you said, I'm not going to take up the time, but when you said new job or new adventure or something like that, whatever the Lord, however
open
he leads.
Door.
Open door, yeah. Whenever he leads, you know, you just go into wherever he leads you. But that's pretty much it. You know, I thank the Lord for you speaking his word, you know. And being able, especially about, I don't know her name, but she was talking about her baby, and I'm just praying that everything goes well with her, you know.
Yes, it is. Didn't you hear her voice? It even changed.
Yeah, she sounds
for.
Excited.
Yes, that's what PGN is for. You know, we help each other. We pray for each other. We minister to each other. And, you know, even when you guys come on and you tell about your stories, you're ministering to somebody else with, you know, real things that are happening in your life. And so, I mean, we can't make this up. It's happening right on PGN. And people are hearing, look, this is what happened to me. And people are getting encouraged and touched in their lives for the things that are happening in their life, you know, and it helps them, you know, and it's a beautiful thing the way PGN is working. You know, it's awesome the way that God can use all of us to help each other. But we are, like I said earlier, sometimes we help those that are in need, and sometimes we're in need ourselves, and we need to let other people pray for us too. And guide, and you know, it works both ways. When we act like we have it all together, then, you know, that's not God's way. We have to know when we need help from God, and we need help, we need prayer, and we have to know that we can also minister to others even while we're in need. Like, look at the sister Shavanda. Yeah, she had just had a baby, and she still ministered to somebody else, but look, God had taken her through miscarriages, and it was the perfect person to have in front of that man that was grieving for that baby. He used it.
Mm-hmm.
You see? And that's how we stay poor in our spirit, in the sense that we need God, but we help the poor in spirit at the same time. Isn't that wonderful? We're blessed
that's
to be
wonderful.
A blessing, and then, yeah. And we continue blessing, you know, others. So, you know, I think it's awesome the way that God orchestrates everything.
I know it. And the way you are, you know, doing the job of telling others about the Lord and everything. And I just want to add this token. I don't know how it is for everybody else, but when I read the word out loud, it really does resonate. It's like it gets inside the soul. And it's like, wow, you're preaching to yourself because it's, I mean, you know, it's uplifting. But now, when I do it silently, it's almost like I'm going to sleep. That's just the work of the enemy, because he knows you're not reading it silent. When you're reading it out loud, uh-oh, he's got to get back.
That's funny. Yeah, we'll try that. We'll start reading the word out loud, and, you know, and it takes, you know, they say we have to be careful with our words, and what better words to speak the word of God, right? So we speak the word of God in the atmosphere. Praise the Lord. You know, and declaring and decreeing, you know, believing God. But the best thing is obedience to the Lord. You've got to put your actions where your mouth is. You just don't have to speak words for the heck of speaking them. You speak words, you know, because you're following that, and your walk has to line up with your talk.
We can't have, it's like this, that one song that I said, this one girl that I heard her singing, she says, this is a worldly song. She says, she's talking about, I guess, a boyfriend or something. He says, your lips are moving, your lips are moving, your lips are moving, and you lie, 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 baby. So we can't be moving our lips and lying. We got to move our lips and let them line up with our walk. Amen.
Yeah.
Because God knows exactly what's in our heart. He doesn't want lip service. He wants us to speak the truth.
He wants action service. He doesn't want lip
and
service.
So,
he wants action.
Yeah. Every time I hear that song, I heard somebody tell something. It was a family member tell another, oh, you're lying, and I can hear you, and I'll be singing, your lips are moving, your lips are moving. We can't lie to the ones that we say that we love. We can't be lying to God like that. We have to walk the walk and the talk. It has to line up. Otherwise, it's just like blah, blah, blah. It's like a girlfriend telling the boyfriend, your lips are moving, and all I hear is lies, lies, lies. So I heard it the other day. I couldn't get it out of my head. I was like, oh, my goodness. I go, it has a lot of truth to that song. So that's the same thing with God. Amen. So let's speak
is
the
that
truth.
Kelly
let's
Clarkson?
Walk with God. Huh?
I don't know if that was Kelly Clark's. I don't know her name, but. Kelly Clarkson.
No, it wasn't. No, it's just a blonde lady. I don't know her name. I just heard the song and I thought it was so funny. But it just, you know, resonated in me. Well, it just made me realize, you know, that's the way that probably God sees us sometimes when we're saying one thing and we're doing another. We just lie, lie, lie. It's a lie. It is a lie. It is a lie. We're moving and saying that we're doing this and that. It's a lie. So, no.
You know,
in other words, you know, I got your number. You lying. Go ahead.
That's something there. I was listening to you as well when you said narrow, and it says it in a word. Narrow is the, what is it? Narrow is
the
wide is the gate. Huh?
Yeah, wide is the gate for sin. There's a lot of people that are in that wide place. Everybody's in there. But not everybody's in the straight and narrow path. Where it's harder to, you know, to spend with the Lord. I mean, you know, the straight and narrow path requires you to stay within a smaller space. A smaller is narrow. Not everybody goes there. And the broad gate, you know, everybody's there. They're all going to hell. Everybody's there. You know, it's a remnant. It's not a lot of people. You know, people don't understand that it's not everybody. There's a good majority in hell, and that's not where they're supposed to be. But they chose. God respects people's choices to reject them.
Well, you know, the thing. You're right, and the thing is that on earth he gives us a lot of time to get it right, you know.
Yeah, but
he
know,
gives us
our like I was saying, there's a lot of needy people, but we need to seek him first and know him real good and spend time at his feet, worshiping him and loving him, so that we can reach out to a dying world, so we can reach out to those that are dying, because in ourselves, we have nothing that we can offer. We can't offer the world anything, not even what we think. We can't give them religion. We have to give them the real deal. But that requires us to spend time within, you know, in his presence with him, worshiping him, not in the things of the world. You're only going to give the things of the world if you're in the world. It's going to sound godly, but it's not godly. So as we spend time in the Word and studying it really good and spending time in his presence, he's going to guide us as to when and what to say or how to pray it. You know, it's how he says it, not how we want it.
how he says it's exactly. Not how we want it. And so we, how would you know that? By spending time with him.
Mm.
Spending time with him, making time for him. You know, we make time for a lot of things. For television, to spend time with family. We make time for the things that we like watching, the things we like to do, the things where we like to go eat, you know, everything else, but God takes no priority. And so we have to prioritize mm-hmm. him. And we have to work hard at that, because the enemy makes it so easy for us to. The flesh will pull you too. You know, those are the enemies of you know, that we have to deal with. Ourselves, the enemy, and our the flesh. The flesh and the world. The worldly things. We have enemies mm-hmm. that we have to deal with. It's not just the devil, it's those things too that we have to fight against. So he will give us the strength to do it. It's like Paul said, it's in his righteousness, it's seeking him. To walking after him. He's the one. Paul was religious. He had the things of the world, what the world thought, how to serve God. And he had a rude awakening.
Yeah.
And the scales came off of his eyes. His spiritual scales came off. And so we need that.
Mm-hmm.
We need God, take the scales off of our eyes. Search our hearts. What's not supposed to be there. Show us. Guide us. So that we can serve you in the right way. Yeah. So thank you.
Well, Jesus. I tell you, Prophetess Carmen, you are an inspiration. I mean, for others that's wanting to, how can I put it? That's wanting to live right, or that's coming in from like the club or something, you know, that may, you know. Just saying they're wanting to get their lives right and everything. You're not. They will want to take the scales off. They will want to listen, in other words, to what you have to say, and in the Lord.
God does
so,
that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The
Lord is using you. Yeah, the Lord is using you to draw them in. That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, it's not me, it's him, and
yeah.
At times it's hard because, you know, I'm like, no, I'm not no different than anybody else. It's, you know, I have my hard times too. Mm-hmm. But because I know that I have my hard times too, who better to tell other people, you know, about God and to minister to them? How much would I love when I was a young woman to be able to come on PGN, you know? And PGN wasn't around when I was young. But wouldn't it have been nice to have a place like PGN to come and where you can go and get ministered to this way? This is different. This is wonderful for us to have a ministry like this. And we need to continue to pray for Prophet Randy and the ministry so that it'll continue to grow and minister to more, and more will come. And so we can be the family of God that he wants us to be, to be united and strong in him, you know, and bring him glory. So, you know, I thank God for PGN. That's why I do it, because I know the need for it. I know how I feel when I have Prophet Randy prophesy over me, and he encourages me to continue another week, another day. You know, there's some days that are not easy. They're not easy, but, you know, it's a blessing to have ministries like this, right? And I thank God for
right.
So continue praying, because, you know, we have that responsibility if we want more of this and more of God, you know, the way that God mm-hmm. is using this ministry. Yeah, thank God for that. I'm blessed mm-hmm. because of PGN. And first of all, because of God. And I give the glory and honor to God. But, you know, like I said, you know, we sometimes are the needy, and sometimes we minister to those that are needy. And sometimes work both at the same time.
But that's okay. We understand that we're poor and we need God. When we stop thinking that way, that we got it all together, that's when we're in trouble.
That's, yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen.
All right, Sarah. Well, God bless you
right.
And happy 2023.
Yep, I'll be 52. But anyway, thank the Lord.
52?
Yep, 52.
Oh, wow. You're still young.
Yeah, still young. Listen, I can still turn the numbers around to 25, so that's still young.
That's what my aunt would do. We would ask her how old she was, and she would always turn the number, the smallest number ahead. And I'm like, no, that's cheating. you can't always do that. If you're 29, you'll be 92. So anyway, praise the Lord. Well, you enjoy your birthday.
You.
Have fun, and God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you, and may you continue to be rich in the Lord, and I know you will because you got the Spirit of the Lord on the inside of you. So talk to you later if the Lord say the same.
All right. God bless.
God bless.
All right. God bless you too. Okay. 252-725. I believe this is Vicky. I'm so sorry, Vicky. Let me minister to you. Give me one moment. Thank you, Lord, for Vicky. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the new stuff, the victories you're giving her, Father God. Thank you, Father God, for the new places, the new position that you're putting her in. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. You know, I see you like going upstairs, going up some stairs, like a step, stepping up and going up into like a new level. And it's like, it's almost like if you were in a marina and you're stepping up onto a dock and the sun is shining on you. And I see that is not only, something that's not just something physical, but it's a spiritual thing that you're stepping up and that God's face is shining on you. He's shining on you, and he's leading you, and he's guiding you. And so there's a victory that's taking place in your life, like you're going up a new level. And I can see, a joy about you. And so I thank you, Father God, for that new level, that new place where you have her, where you have Vicky, that place where you're actually shining on her life and leading and guiding her with your light and with your truth, Father God. Thank you, Father God, because she's coming up. She's coming up. She's going up. She's going up in the things of the Lord because she's seeing things. She sees what you want her to see because your light is shining on her life. I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for blessing her. Thank you, Lord, for guiding her in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. All right. Vicky, are you there? I can't make out what you're saying. Vicky?
Yes, I have fallen asleep. I'm sorry.
It's okay. We all do it. I call it La La Land. We go to La La Land. Mm-hmm. I always text Prophet Randy when somebody falls asleep. I go, they're in La La Land. He doesn't say anything, but I'm always joking. Yeah, no, that's a good place. Mm-hmm. You're resting. So how are you, my dear?
I'm okay. I had a stroke. 2 weeks ago, this coming Tuesday will be 2 weeks. And so if I talk funny or sound like I'm weird, it's only because of I have the damage in my brain. But I'm doing really well. God's pulling me through as usual. So I'm hanging in there, and I'm doing real well with this stroke situation. I'm not paralyzed, and the numbness and everything on my left side is starting to go away, and it's okay. But I swanny, if one more bad thing happens to me, I'm going to scream so loud people in China will be able to hear me. That's just...
Well, maybe that's what I was seeing, that you were going upstairs like in a marina, like you were going up, and that the Lord's light was shining on you. And so that makes sense, that you're recuperating. He's shining on you to get better and better, and you're starting to see things. And things are starting to move. So that makes sense, Vicki. You got the victory. God is placing you in another place, in a new place. That's the new place. You're not where you were. You're in a new place.
Yeah.
You're going higher. You're getting better. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
And all this is going on. You sound good. I don't know how you sounded before, but you sound good to me.
I used to sound a lot better. I think my enemy just wants to shut me up because I preach and I sing all the time, and now I can't sing a note. It's terrible, but it's not going to work, because whether I can carry a tune or not, I'm going to sing my little heart out.
You're going up higher. You're getting better. Don't worry, you're gonna get there.
Yeah,
and God is gonna give you wisdom on how to go about taking care of yourself so that can happen. And let's pray, everybody. Join me to pray for Vicki now that we understand what that worry was all about. And we thank you, Lord, for that victory that you gave Vicki, that you didn't allow her to die. Or, you know, that she didn't pass away because of this stroke, but that she made it and that she's getting better and better each day. We thank you, Father God, because your face is shining on her life. I thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. We just pray, Father God, right now that you would just touch her in her veins, and that your blood would touch her blood, Father God, and that as she takes communion, Father God, that she'll be a different person each time she takes that communion, Father God. And I thank you, Father God, because it was your blood that was shed on the blood for her, Father God, that you gave her your blood to set her free, from these things that ail her, Father God, that these things that bring distress. You know what? Give me a minute. Let me look for that scripture. It's just coming to my mind again. 61, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And they shall rebuild the old ruins, and they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolation of many generations. There was something somewhere. I can't find it right now. But, you know, this is what Jesus died for, you know, to set us free, to bring healing to us, you know, so that we can have that joy. And so whatever has happened to you, God, what I saw, you, like if you were in a marina, like taking fresh air, and you were, the light was shining on you, there was a joy about that. And I know that God is doing something in your life to stay with the Lord, stay in the things of God, that, you know, and understand that it's by his stripes that you are healed. It's by his stripes that you are healed. Not were healed, you are healed. Or going to be healed, you are healed. You are healed in Jesus' name. And so we thank you, Father God, for her healing right now. Anything that's caused problems in the heart or in the brain, Father God, anything that, you know, made a portion of whatever die, Lord, we just bring life, ask you to bring life into those areas in the name of Jesus. Restore, Father God, those things that were damaged through the stroke in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father God, that she's getting better and better each and every day. And we praise your holy name. We thank you, Father God, for our sister being able to call PGN and to ask for ministry. Father God, thank you for touching her tonight. Thank you for being there for her. She doesn't realize it, but you are helping her. You are changing her. You're transforming her. We thank you for that healing in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Jehovah Rapha, our healer, for healing her. You are our healer in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So he is your doctor. He's the great physician. He's Jehovah Rapha, our healer. Our healer. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Wow, that is heavy duty, huh? And I could feel your spirit. You're a tough cookie because he made you tough. And you know, many people, especially women, when they go through that, you know, they don't come on the other end too well. But I don't hear that from you. I can sense in your spirit that you are well and you're getting better. Amen.
Amen.
Your
name, Vicky. Yeah, that's right.
Victory.
Vicky. Yep.
Victory.
Vicky
is usually
Victory.
From Victoria, no?
That, well, it's just plain old Vicky, but it is short. It is for Victoria, but it is my legal name is just plain old Vicky. But my middle name is
Victoria. You know what Victoria
Rick.
In Spanish is? Victoria what? Is victory.
Amen. That is,
Spanish,
and I am.
Victory, Victoria.
You know, I was just getting, yep. I only was getting ready to go to sleep, and all of a sudden I had this inclination just to call, and I'm like, what for? And I didn't know. So when I called, and then I was like, I'm sleepy. I want to go to sleep. So I hung up. And then the same thing, little voice said, call back. And I was like, oh, I want to go to sleep. I called back. I did fall asleep. So, and I'm like, God, because I don't know why he had me call. I don't know exactly why. But I know he wanted me to, so I did, and here we are. And I,
Victoria in Jesus.
That's right.
Jesus.
I sure am. Victory in Jesus. That's for sure.
Victoria. Yeah, victory, victory. Mm-hmm. That's your name. He's got your number.
That's right. Because you know,
wow.
The thing is, all these things that have, like, there's been a lot since 2015. I mean, my dad went in the hospital. The next day, my mom went in the hospital. 2 weeks later, my daddy died. Then my aunt died. My other aunt died within a month. My two cats died. I moved 5 or 6 times in 1 year. My husband was diagnosed with cancer, and he was the love of my life. And after 1.5 years, he died, and we had to go through surgery and surgery and surgery and surgery and chemo. And then, you know, then my mom, she passed too. She died. And it's just so many. It's like one thing after another thing after another thing. And I'm like, you know, the thing we have to all realize is that it's not about here and now. It's about there and then. It's about eternity in heaven. It isn't this life. Is just a drop in all the water of all the earth compared to eternity. And that is a mind-blowing concept. And you can't let things get you down. You can't let situations and things, bad things that happen to you hurt. You can't get mad at God. You can't be defeated. You can't let your enemy win. You're not supposed to be like those tares in the wheat field that because of the circumstances in life, you just go and you just say, you know, forget you, God. You must not love me. And every time that something bad happens to me, I have to keep looking at what he did on the cross, what he did before, during, and after the cross. What is waiting for me? The love of God is so phenomenal. And you can't let these little things on this earth get you down. You just can't. I'm preaching in here.
Yes, that's what I'm going to say, but I didn't want to interrupt.
I'm on a roll, girl. And I'm sorry to Babylon. I can't help it because I had this, you know, they said with this stroke that, you know, I'm talking more than I've ever talked in my life, actually. But I just, you know, I want to encourage everybody, you know, to, when things happen, you just have to look at the cross. Don't doubt that God loves you. Look at what he did to save you. So brutal a punishment for your sins. So brutal a death for you to have the promise of heaven. And I'm going, wow, it's so wonderful to realize how much God loves us, isn't it? It's just wonderful. Mm-hmm. I do, however, I have a prayer request. I have a burden that kills me. This burden kills me, and you've actually prayed for me about this before. I have a little niece, and her mother is a practicing professed Satanist witch, and this little girl is the most precious little girl in the world, and I do need prayer for her. And if there's anything that God gives you for me about her situation, I mean, please let the Lord use you. And please, if you would, pray for that situation, because it kills my heart. I love this little girl more than anything on this earth, and I would do anything. She's alone. She's never has any interaction with anybody, and it's pitiful. It's the most pitiful thing. And then her mother uses the witchcraft and puts spells on her, and I'm like, oh my gosh. And she's only in the fourth grade. And it kills me. I want her to come live with us where she's loved and
nurtured.
Well,
you know what I'm seeing? I'm seeing a little girl, and I see her fuzzy, but I see a huge hand above her. It's like the hand of God over her. God is protecting this child. And as far as her mother, you continue praying for her, because I'm going to tell you one thing. Your prayers, God listens to. God listens to the prayer of the righteous. When we pray in right standing with God, he hears our prayers. Let me give you a little testimony. I have a family member that is involved, you know, started getting involved with satanical stuff and spells and stuff like that, where people will call this person to do spells on other people. Well, I had been praying for this person, and I said, Lord, it's time for you to do something to this person. Help them do what you got to do. And let me tell you, that person called me up and they asked me to pray for them, and that they didn't want this certain thing to happen to them. And yet they were one of the spiritual ones that would pray, you know, these demonic prayers for other people. But they were in a place where God got a hold of them. And I have been praying for this person for a long time, but I had just gotten fed up, you know, of what the enemy was doing. So this person is slowly but surely coming back, ask for prayer. And I told them, this, you can't fool around anymore. You can't say that you want protection and then you go on and do and live however you want. I go, if not, I won't bother praying for you. I just told them that. No. You know, and we prayed, and I go, you mean this, right? You're not fooling around, because I know you can say a prayer and then turn back. I go, don't mess around. If you're not serious, better to go and deal with whatever you're doing, you know, but you know the end result. And the person said no. They wanted to pray. And we prayed, and a peace came over this person. And it seems like it's still sticking. And so they meant business, so they know. And they had an opportunity to cast a spell, and they said, you know, they confessed they didn't.
Oh,
they didn't do it. They're doing it God's way. So you pray for that niece, that the mother of that child, and you continue to let God handle it. God knows how to do it in a perfect way. So you say, God, you know, here this person is. I'm lifting them up to you, and I thank you, Lord, because you're protecting that child that she's praying against. Lord, continue to protect her and keep her, that none of those curses will fall on her. Lord, bless her. And Lord, if there is an opportunity for this child to be in my home, for me to take care of her, Lord, I pray you make a way. And so, Lord, I just pray this as we're talking, Father. You heard our conversation. You heard what we're talking about, this young girl and her mother, Father. And we just pray, Father God, that you deal with this young woman, that you would deal with her in a way that only you know how to deal with, and that she would turn and repent from her wicked ways. We pray for that child, Father God, and we ask you that if you allow it and it's in your perfect will, that you would allow her to be with her aunt. If not, Lord, we just pray that you deal with this family as a whole, and that there be unity, and that they would that she would turn to the Lord, and that she would be a testimony for your glory in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father God, for hearing our prayer tonight for this woman. We thank you for victory and her victories too, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for even right now as she's talking on the show, you are setting her free from even those things that are still lingering. And we thank you for that complete and full recovery in the name of Jesus. That she would be better than ever in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I don't think you realized that as you were talking, your voice was changing.
Yes,
you don't realize it. You need to listen to the show.
Yeah. It does.
Ms. Vicki, I think the Lord woke you up for us, because you were preaching, and you were preaching good. Amen.
Thank you. Look, I'll preach to the couch, the bed. Look, the pillows on my couch got saved today. I'm expecting the couch to get saved tomorrow.
You're practicing.
Yeah. I think you got our attention when you described what you've been through. I mean, I think that you know, exceeds a lot of what we've all been through. And you have the perfect attitude. You have the Lord's attitude on dealing with it. So I just thank you for your preaching. It was right on. Amen.
You're welcome, my
brother.
And
Lord,
now,
I just
don't get me. What?
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Well, I was going to say, I don't always have. Don't get me wrong. I have my pity party days, and I'll cry myself a river. But then he'll like, okay, now put your big girl pants on and take off your little diety, won't you? And I'm like, okay, but I don't want to right now. But I do. He's just, God is good. He's good. even when things are not so good. Yeah. That smile on your face is circumstantial.
Well, it makes sense what you were saying about all the pain and the loss that you had. And this scripture that talks about Isaiah 61, he says, to give them beauty for ashes. You know, those are ashes. Mm-hmm. And God is turning things around and making them beautiful. That's what I was seeing you, you know, when you were going up the steps, like you were coming up to another level. And his light was shining on you. So he's giving you beauty for ashes in what you've been going through. So, you know, and I ask Father God in the name of Jesus that all this pain, this all this suffering, Father God, from the loss of her loved ones, Lord, that I just pray that if there's anything there that has caused her, Father God, more stress, that caused her pain, heaviness, false grief, Father God. We just pray that we bind that spirit of grief off of her in the name of Jesus, because it's time to rejoice. It's time for victory. And we thank you for that, Father God. Lift that off of her in Jesus' name, and off of any of her body parts, Father God, that any trauma that may have lodged in her body parts, Father God, in her heart, Father God, that it goes in Jesus' name. We command that trauma to leave her body in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus',
in Jesus
name.
Jesus
we thank you, Father God, for that. Yes, Lord. Thank you for the that trauma that's leaving her body. In Jesus' name. In
Jesus',
Jesus name.
Name.
Thank you, Jesus.
I agree in my whole heart.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Whew, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you,
and
Jesus.
And bless these two people, Father, for their ministering to so many. Bless these two people for their faithfulness in the small things, Lord. Make them master over large, many large things, Father. Lord, she's here time and time again. And, Lord, just fill them up and use them and lift them and bring their heads high, Lord, and just give them new opportunities in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. And, Lord, help and save all of their family members, and, Lord, bless them spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, financially. Lord, every need that they have, Father, you know what they need, and you said you provided all of our needs. So I pray that you and your providing nail-pierced hand, Lord, would just reach down and bless their earthly circumstances, and Lord knows, Father, their spiritual circumstances. Lord, give them something that they never even knew, Father, great and mighty things that they know not. And Lord, their union, make it stronger. And I pray for a new honeymoon. Sometimes, Father, when people are married and they love you with everything they've got, the pillars of the church become the battering rams of their own marriage. So I just pray that you would help this union, and that you would give them a new in love, googly, mushy honeymoon with you and with each other, Lord. And I pray for more romance and sweetness and affection than ever before with them and you, and between them, this man and this woman. And I pray that in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord God, for what you're going to do, and for new doors being opened, and there's going to be a door being shut. And so, Father, I pray that when you shut the door, that they don't try to open it, whatever it is. Father, that they don't, Lord, when the door shuts, I pray that you give them the strength and the heart to let it just be shut. and that they will know it's okay. And Lord, when the door opens that they've been wanting open, Father, that they run in through it, that they run into it, and they just are blessed when they do that, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus. I hope I didn't overstep my bounds.
Thank you, Vicki. Is there anything else you want prayer for?
No. I can't help it when I start praying. You guys are married, right?
No, ma'am.
You don't have a husband, Carmen?
No, I'm not. I've been divorced 7 years.
I got him. Oh, my gosh. Well, how about that? Maybe the honeymoon was for you guys and God to be together. Not for you guys to be together, but for a honeymoon between you and your father and him and his father. So.
Amen. Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
All right.
Well, okay. That
well,
will
I'm
be
glad.
Wonderful.
Yes, ma'am. Well, I thank
and
you.
Vicki,
I do
for... Miss Vicki, I'm going to say this. Miss Vicki, there's nothing wrong with your speech, by the way. You're fine.
There's nothing, except for... But I don't know why I thought you guys were married to one another. My apologies. Now, are you married, sir?
No, ma'am.
I gotcha. Okay. Well, somebody is going to fall head over heels in love with God, and y'all are going to have both of you. That was all about.
Amen.
You know, sometimes
all
we,
right.
we... Yeah, sometimes we... We forget our first, sometimes we forget our first love. And so I saw a honeymoon for you guys with God. I did say that. So, but I did honestly, for some reason, think you guys were married. I don't know why, that's stupid. But anyway, I've had a stroke. That's the only excuse I have. So, but I do think that, you know, when you guys minister so much and you minister so much, sometimes you do, even your marriage to the Lord, because we are the bride of Christ and we do become the battering rams of our marriage. We really do. So I just have this little sense that you and your Father in heaven, y'all are going to have just like this, the sweetest, like rejuvenating something is just going to be different. And there is I do believe with my whole heart, there is a door for one, if not both, that's going to go shut for one of you. I really do believe that I heard that right. I really do. I really do believe I heard that right. So, and so anyway. I'm going to shut up. And
no,
my apologies.
You say what you got to say. The Lord says you're Victoria. There's victory.
Yeah.
Victoria
so, but my look. Apologies. I'm sorry. I thought you guys were a married couple. I'm sorry.
No. I live in another city in Texas. How far is it from you? Daniel?
About 800 miles.
Okay. I gotcha. Golly.
Yeah.
You live in Texas? Oh, my. That's a long way.
Yeah,
away.
I live, like, really up north and to northwest, and he lives, what is it, like, closer to east? Yeah.
Yes,
it's pretty far. Yeah. East Texas. Huh? Yeah.
All right. Well, now that I am, I will. And I promise to be more quiet.
No,
that's fine. That's fine. You continue to speak and say what you have to say. We respect that. Thank you. Well, thank you so much for coming on. Is there anything else you'd like us to pray for?
No, maybe to keep help me to shut up.
No.
Pray for me to shut up. That'll be great.
Well,
you guys, you both take care, and I'm going to go to bed now. And
be blessed.
I'm happy that you got on. We're blessed. Thank you, Miss Vicky.
Alrighty. Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
All right. We have another caller. I still have time for another caller, but they didn't raise their hand. Oh, wait a minute. This thing is not closing this. Give me a minute because I'm trying to work from the phone, and it's kind of small, especially when you don't wear your glasses. It's doing that thing again. All right. Let me try to refresh it just in case someone tried to raise their hand. I have another caller. If you want to raise your hand, we'll take your call. Give me 1 minute here. Okay, now it's working. Okay. All right. We have 951-966, your name and where you're from.
Hi, this is Regina from California.
Hey, Regina, give me a minute and I'll put you on mute. I'll be right back. Thank you, Lord, for Regina. Thank you, Father God, for, I see you like a bulldozer, like God using you as a bulldozer, not necessarily like a bulldozer, like using your own legs to kick things out of the way. And God is using you. I don't know if it's through prayer or what, but I see you like there's things, obstacles in the way, and you're like kicking them, and they're going. They're flying. But that strength is given to you by the Lord. He's giving you the power to kick the enemy out and to get the obstacles that are stopping you from going on the path that God is trying to allow you to go through. And so I see you like it's almost an aggressive kick where you're kicking it and it's going up in the air and moving out of the way, moving out of the path that you're supposed to be walking through. And so I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing to helping Regina. We thank you, Lord, for that, Father God, for helping her, Father God. And give me a minute. I got to look something up. You know, I'm sensing that the Lord is using you in a special way because of your walk with Him is separated for God. So there is this walk that you're doing with God. And God sees this. So, I don't know how to say this. It's almost like the royalty coming in. And when royalty comes in, it brings order.
brings order. And so because you are royalty and you're walking with the Lord and your walk and your talk are right, you have this power and authority to trample on the snakes and scorpions and to kick the enemy out of the way. And so that path that you're supposed to be going on, those obstacles that are trying to get in the way, you have that authority to remove it in the name of Jesus. You have that authority in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father God, for that authority that Regina carries, Father God, that you have given her, Father God, with her walk and her talk in the name of Jesus. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Wow. Ooh. Thank you, Jesus.
Regina
thank
means
you, Lord.
Queen in Latin.
Regina. Uh-huh.
Regina
queen
means
in
Latin? In Latin, yeah, queen in Latin. You said royalty,
okay.
So that matched up.
So she's got an authority that I'm seeing in the name of Jesus. I'm seeing that, and I was seeing her kicking those things, and it was going up in the air, going out of the path that she's supposed to be walking on. Let me refresh this because this is, like, giving me trouble, so I can't get her on. Okay, she'll be refreshing in a minute. Okay, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, for some reason, the internet is, I don't know what's going on all over, but I heard Papa Randy talking about that the other day with Gina. Where are you? Okay, there you go. All right, Regina, how are you?
Yes. I am good. It's just that's clarity because I've been going through a lot, and I'm like, Lord, what am I? And it's like I'm up against a lot, and I just hear spiritual warfare. Got to fight. Even my sister's talking, you know, about family issues, and I'm like, it's not the person we're dealing with. It's the spirit. We're going to have to. And I just sent her that yesterday. We got to fight.
That makes sense, what I was saying then.
Mm-hmm.
That is exactly it. You have the authority. You've got the authority. I saw you in the spirit kicking it. It was like, and those objects that were in the way were like flying like nothing, like little light boxes or something. It wasn't a heavy thing. Yep. And they were getting out of your way. And it was like a straight and narrow path. And you were kicking them and getting them out. Like, you knew, this is in my way. This is in my way.
I just told her, I said, we got to fight. That's all I kept telling her yesterday. We got to fight. It's war. It's spiritual. It's invisible war. We have to fight. We have to learn to fight. We have to find scriptures. We have to stand on the promises. We have to fight. That's all I kept telling her. If we're in the war, we got to fight.
Wow, Regina. So the victory is yours right there. You know that's confirmation to letting you know, but you know what you got to do. You know what you got to talk.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes, that makes sense. The walk and the talk. My goodness. Wow.
Yes.
God is something else. Wow. Well, you know you got it. So all you have to do is do it. And you know the victory is yours. You have that. The Lord is already showing you ahead of time. So do what you know to do.
Amen.
Do what you know to do. Wow, Regina.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's a big testimony. And let us know what happens too. Now I'm curious.
Okay.
So what else is going on? Is there anything you want us to pray about?
Well, my brother's going through a lot of, he's been going through a lot of health issues. But I do give God the praise because maybe 2 days ago, he hasn't been able to stand up and cook and do all this stuff. 2 days ago, he sent me a picture of all the food he made. And I was like, hey, what happened? He's like, I don't know. I got up today. My legs feel good. I was able to make a stand and, like, you know, make a whole plan and cook a whole meal, which was progress. And I'm like, wow, look at God, you know. So he's coming along with his faith, but I would always just keep bringing to him, like, that's God. Don't take that credit. That's God, you know. So that's a testimony because for like a year he hasn't been able to do that.
Ooh.
So that's, yes, that's big. So I'm like, wow, Lord, you know, I pray for him all the time and put him on prayer call, you know, prayer. His name is Tyrone, so. And listen him up.
More
and
confirmation.
For him to check me and say he did that, yes. That's God.
Yeah, well, you know your word and you know how to deal with it. And so it, apparently it's working. So we pray that God will help you to continue doing that until the whole thing, the breakthroughs come through for you and your family and everything that you're dealing with. And we, Lord, you hear our prayer. You hear what we're praying about. You hear what her brother's going through. I pray that you also give him wisdom, Father God, with what he's eating, and that he join with you in his healing, that not only your power and your touch touches his body, but that he also does his part, Father God. And we thank you, Father. We thank you for the thank you for the victories you're giving their family. Continue to strengthen them and give them wisdom as to know the strategies, the battle plan, Father God, to knock down the enemy, Father God, out of their lives, their health, their finances, their family issues, Lord. We just thank you, Father God, for what you're doing in their lives and also in those that are on PGN listening to this tonight, that if they have also issues with their family, that, Father God, you would also touch their lives too, their families, their finances, their health, Father God, that you would just bring healing to all that are listening in on PGN tonight, Father God, for them and their family. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Wow, thank you, Lord. Oh, I love this. I love this. do you have any, what's your brother's name?
His name is Tyrone.
Okay, so we'll keep them in prayer. We'll keep them in prayer so that God will continue to, you know, completely heal him. And we thank that. We thank God ahead of time for that in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Okay, Queen Regina, the royalty of the Lord, the royalty of the Lord. Yeah. That's what I see, like your royalty. And because you're royalty, you know your position. You know your position.
Mm-hmm.
You know your position. So, wow. Oh, I wish you could see what I see when I'm seeing what God is giving me for you. It's almost like it's like a movie. And you're walking.
Wow.
And then you're kicking. And it's like it, almost like if they were light boxes. It wasn't even heavy at all. And, you know, well, at least the way that you were attacking them. And they were clearing the way, clearing the way, clearing the way, and you kept walking. So know that you have the victory. You have the victory. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, that Sister Vicky, she's got me on a roll with the victory.
Right?
Yeah.
It reminds
me
of that when you were talking to her, buying that song of Victory, That's My Name. Victory, That's My Name. That was... You know that song? I know who I am. I don't know all the lyrics. That's hilarious. A little bit.
Sounds like you can. Go for it.
It's part of the chorus is Victory, That's My Name, or something that says, I know who I am. Victory, something, that's my name, Victory, I know who I am. I don't know who it's by, if that's like part of the course, but it's Victory, it's singing the victory,
went on end when you were singing, wow. Ooh, you need to sing that next time you get on. I want to hear the whole thing. It sounds good. You're a singer, huh?
I'll find the song.
Okay.
I blend in the choir. Look, I blend
you
in
do?
The choir.
Oh.
Or used to.
Oh.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. We got a worshiper here. She knows her name. She's got victory.
Wow.
Thank you,
Jesus.
I'm going to find this song.
Victoria in Jesus. Victory in Jesus.
Victory. Amen. Yes.
Victory.
She got on talking, her voice was getting stronger and stronger.
Mm-hmm. Didn't you hear the same? Didn't you hear it?
Yeah, there's a change by the end of the call. Absolutely. Yeah.
I hope she listens into the show again and hears her voice.
Yeah.
So that she could see
from
what
the first
I was
time
doing.
She spoke to the end. Yes, she sounds completely, yeah, stronger.
You know, that's not the first time that's happened to anybody when they get on the show. I've seen it happen before, people getting healed even as they're talking. So that's Jesus.
Yeah, I heard it. I heard it. I was like, wow, she sounds better.
Yes, she did. God was healing her.
Mm-hmm.
God was healing her. Man, alive, this is an awesome show tonight. This is an awesome show. Wow.
Yeah, I heard it. I could hear it. I heard the difference.
Can you only imagine how this year is going to be?
Yes.
I can't wait to see what other things the Lord is going to be doing in our PGN shows. It's going to be good. It's going to be good.
Amen.
Well, girl, is there anything you'd like us to pray over you for?
I'm going to pray for my daughters, the three, as Prophet Randy said, the triple A's. Because all their names begin with an A. So you can call them the triple A.
Okay.
Because their names are
Father God.
Similar.
Okay. You want to give us their name, or that's okay if you don't?
Sure. No, it's okay.
Okay.
My old is Ariana, Aaliyah, and Aaron.
And Anna?
Ariana, Aaliyah, and Aaron.
Oh, Aaron. I didn't hear it. All right.
Mm-hmm. Aaron.
Father God, yeah. We just pray for the triple A's, Ariana, Aaliyah, and Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron. Thank you,
correct.
Lord, for these precious daughters, Father God. Thank you, Lord, for their excellent spirit, Father God, that you have given them, just like their mother, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for what you're doing in this family. We pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that you will bring unity like never before, Father God.
Yeah.
Bring the unity like never before. Bring them together with cords that cannot be broken, Father God. Just like when we do a braid, Father God, that one goes weaving in and out. Lord, put these three sisters together like a cord that cannot be broken is what I'm seeing, Father God. And I thank you, Father God, for that. I thank you, Father God, for the beauty in their family, the beauty in their mother, that anointing is running down on these daughters, Father God. We just thank you, Lord, that you're breaking off the things that are not of you off of these girls. And I
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do in their lives, for what you're going to do in their lives. How are you going to use them, Father God? Lord, break
thank
all
you,
these
Father.
Things off that shouldn't be there, that the enemy is trying to put on these girls, Father God. And we thank you, Father God, for that touch in their family. Father God, I thank you, Father God, for those breakthroughs in the name of Jesus. I thank you for healing their uncle and touching their mom and giving them the victory for all the things that they need victory in, Father God. Thank you, Father
Amen.
God. Give them wisdom, Father God, and use them also, Father God, to speak prophetically into their family, Father God, into the issues that their family are having. Lord, I pray that you give them that discernment and that wisdom to know, Father God, what the enemy is up to, and that they will break,
Amen.
They will break the back of the enemy in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father God,
yes.
for that, the breaker anointing in the name of Jesus. Ooh, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank
you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for
Amen.
These three beauties.
Thank you, Lord.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Father.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, Regina.
Thank you,
that's
Lord.
Awesome.
Thank you,
that's
Lord.
Awesome. That's beautiful.
Hallelujah.
The three. Triple A's, huh? Thank you, Lord.
Triple A's.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
You have three beautiful daughters. I don't know them, but I see them in the spirit. Thank
Amen.
You, Father. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Danny, do you have anything for them?
No, I think that she's on the right path, and we're right there with her, behind you in prayer as you fight the battles. Amen.
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 Thank you, Jesus. All right. Is there anything else you want us to cover?
No, that's it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. God bless you, and thank you for calling, and Happy New Year's. And we're off to a great start.
God bless you all.
Thank
you. Bye-bye.
All right. We have another caller. They haven't raised their hand. If you need ministry tonight, let me know. And if not, we're getting ready to close the show. I'll wait a few minutes to see if this person wants some ministry tonight. They're listening on. Okay, I just don't want to be rude and hang up. All right, the show already ended, but I can continue to minister if they like. So, well, God bless you all. You have a wonderful night tonight. And thank you, Jesus, for this new year. It's coming in a beautiful way with power. And we thank you for that, Father God. Continue to bless VGN. Bless the listeners tonight that are on tonight and those that are going to be listening on to the archives, Father God. And we thank you in Jesus' name for allowing us to be your ministers tonight, Father God. Bless them. Bless Daniel in his work and in his personal life. And we thank you for him, Father God, for ministering. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says, amen. And in Spanish, Victoria en Cristo. Victory in Jesus. Good night, everybody.
Amen.
God bless. Amen.
Bless. Good night.